guys. This is Yannick Silver, and welcome to another Maverick Business Insider interview. With us, we have a Maverick 1000 member, Ron Ipack. And I've known Ron for, I don't know, going on quite a while. I'd say in the neighborhood of, I don't know if I was going to make a guess, in the neighborhood of probably about eight years, maybe even longer. And Ron and I share some of the same sort of background. Dan Kennedy was a really big mentor for both of us, and we both kind of grew up and honed our chops inside niche marketplaces. And Ron's is the auto repair world, where he has, actually I'll have to get an update from you, Ron, but last I heard, 3,500 plus auto repair shops that were using his products and services and helping them market in the auto glass world as well. And then I grew up in the cosmetic surgeon dermatology niche, and that's how you and I think originally met, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So, and then Ron has a great story where he's really one of the best poster childs for just enjoying his lifestyle and creating businesses that work all around his lifestyle, instead of trying to fit it in every once in a while where you can, instead of working 24/7. And Ron owns a couple different businesses that are all around his sort of what he calls the chillaxed lifestyle. So he works poolside when the weather allows from his home or at his beach home in Florida. It's pretty rare for him to work more than 30 hours a week, and he focuses mainly on the high-value money-making tasks and have employees or outsourcers that do all the heavy lifting for him. And so we'll be talking about that, and then we'll get into our other subjects. So Ron, fill in a couple details there on your background real fast, and then we'll get going.
All right, no problem. First off, thank you very much for having me on the call today. I enjoy doing these, and I hope everybody gets some really good value out of it.
Yeah, no, I know they will. I mean, you got a great philosophy on it.
Yeah, it's just a couple updates. I think it was probably about 10, maybe 11 years ago, because you were in Dan's group when I started, I believe.
Yeah, I got going in 99, really, full-time, 98,
okay, yeah.
just getting going.
Yeah, I started in 2000, so it was around 2000, I think, that we started, so my how time flies. and I'm up to a little over 5,000 auto repair shops that I'm working with.
That's awesome.
So things continue to grow. I've come up with a lot of different products, a lot of different philosophies that I've kind of honed over all those years, and now to the point where, I'm enjoying life. It's going great. Challenges are met with more of a smile than a worry.
Well, that's a good position to be in. All right, so let's dig in a little bit, because I'm sure it wasn't always like this. It wasn't, let's go back, if you can remember, maybe the beginning stages, and some people are right at that beginning stage, or they got the idea, or they're trying to get something up and going. They're not sure. They're sort of spinning their wheels. This whole idea of working only 30 hours a week, is that something you think is actually achievable at the beginning, or do you think you need to put in the rocket fuel at first and then you can...
Yeah, I would say I'd be doing somebody a disservice to say that, the first thing you want to do when you're going to build your empire or your business is just, limit yourself to 30 hours. I think that would be a big disservice, because the reality is it does take work. It takes a lot of focus, it takes a lot of your attention and a lot of your passion to get things moving. It's just like that big giant boulder. You can't, getting it to roll the first few inches takes a lot of work, but once you get that momentum going, then you can, then it's easier to push it. And then, of course, as you go further and further, the momentum builds, then it's much easier to get that lifestyle. But I think it's also important in the very beginning that whatever business that you're going to build, you go into it with your eyes wide open in the very beginning, that whatever that business is something that you really want to be in, and that it supports the lifestyle that you want. So in other words, when I first started, 80-hour weeks were commonplace. well, first off, because I didn't know any better. You know, I figured that, you know, if it was going to get done, you know, it'd have to get done by me. So I didn't, you know, discover the outsourcing world. So there was a lot of big learning curve that I had to figure all the stuff out. You know, that part can be streamlined right away by just understanding you don't need to know how to do everything yourself. But on the other hand, you know, a lot of people, they build the business and then they turn around and say, this thing is just a giant time suck. Yeah, it's profitable. Yeah, there's a passion there. But if there's no time left to go out and enjoy your life, well, then you built the wrong business from the very beginning. So I think it's almost a twofold approach, that be prepared to work your butt off in the very beginning, but then also be prepared to have a business that ultimately supports what you really, really want to do.
And then how would you, like how would you evaluate that to be sure that you're on the right track as you're considering business models or you're thinking about what you're going to do?
Well, what I do, and I have these conversations over and over and over again, because I love talking with people that are just getting started with their business or even still have an idea. You know, my whole thing is, build it backwards. And, you know, the traditional approach is, okay, you've got an idea, let's go build a business around that idea. The way I tell people is, well, you know, ultimately, what do you want to do with your life? You know, what is your passion? What is the, you know, what's going to get you out of bed every single morning, you know, or even go much further? You know, what's your perfect day like? You know, so if you wake up, you know, where are you waking up? You know, what hour of the day do you want to wake up? Do you want to, you know, work on the computer for just a couple hours a day, then go surfing the rest of the day? Or are you really the type of person that, you know, enjoys, you know, putting on a suit and going to an office and spending an 8 or 9 hour day? I mean, everybody's different. I mean, that, you know, that gives me chills just even talking about that kind of lifestyle. But, you know, but that's just me. I mean, everybody is different, and that's what the beauty of this thing is. You get to choose the lifestyle you want, and then based on that, go find something that by the time you build it actually supports that. So if you're a guy that, you know, knows you're going to have to pour, you know, 60 hours a week in person at, let's say, a retail store, and you're going to build the business brand around you where people are going to be looking for you, well, understand that that's going to take time away from your family that you either have now or will have in the future. And after a while, you may not want that. So, you know, build it so that, you know, it's interchangeable, so that ultimately you can get it to the lifestyle that you want. Maybe not in the very beginning, but ultimately just look with the end in mind. Work backwards. And
you got a good example of that you've walked someone through that, or that someone's taking your advice and actually gone part of the way and done it?
Taking my advice is
or even the way that you've done it yourself. And
yeah, well, the perfect example, I built a another business just recently, the whole thing was, it had to have very little of my involvement in there, because, again, that, you know, I say I rarely work over 30 hours a week. Most of the time it's 20 hours a week is where I limit myself. It's not even a limit, it's just that, you know, I'm done. But, you know, 30 hours a week is you know, I'm still comfortable working. But I built a new coaching business that was going to require me to do all the coaching, and which is kind of difficult. But, you know, with the magic of, you know, the internet and, you know, this newfangled recording system they have, you know, of, you know, you're recording speech. I pretty much set the business up so I can record it one time and then play it over and over and over again, so it wasn't me having to be on there live every single time. Or at some other things where, you know, if I have updates, it's a matter of, you know, hey, when I'm in the zone and I'm wanting to sit down and record something, I can do that and then insert that into the business. Versus that, for the other end, one being a live coaching model that required you to be on the phone or on a webinar, excuse me, live, talking with people, you know, where you have to spend an hour a day on the phone. This way I can just record it once and replay it over and over. I mean, that's a real common thing, but I think probably...
Well, no, not necessarily. I don't even know if it's that common. I think, you know, what that sparks for me is the idea that I like, you know, when I'm talking to really, like, I actually adopted a class this year who they have a whole entrepreneurship curriculum part of NIFTY, which is a network for teaching entrepreneurship. And, you know, one of the things that I stress with them is leverage. And so many of them have businesses where they have to be the ones doing whatever they have to do. And I just want to expand their thinking into how do you leverage what you're doing, and just like you said, how do you do it one time, multiply it over and over again? How do you really switch that process of not having to be there in person, quote unquote, and that you can totally leverage your talents, your abilities, your effort, and have it work for you multiple times over.
Yeah, that's actually the perfect example of setting up the business and working it backwards. Again, because you can do it live and you can do it recording. Well, it's in how you set it up. If you start live, it's difficult then to switch to the recorded model. So that's why,
right,
I'm saying always look backwards. Look in the future of where you really want to be, and then set it up right the first time, because it's a lot more difficult to change it later on, if at all.
Yeah, so a little bit of thinking, a little bit of process, a little bit of just going out into the future and thinking along those lines. So I think that's great. You've really built up a reputation inside the automotive space, and you know, having 5,000 plus people that look to you for marketing advice and business help. Run. Talk about, I mean, you're not a mechanic, and you don't own an auto repair shop. How, you know, what's the paradigm there that you could just jump into a marketplace and really be the dominant force there without being one of them?
Yeah, that's I don't change my own oil. I mean, I lift the hood of the car and I'm scratching my head. I mean, it's just here's what I leveraged was what I know. You know, I've built up a lot of marketing knowledge. And actually, how I got started with the automotive industry is I used to own a windshield repair company. So I used to go around working on car lots and in driveways, fixing the little bullseyes and stars,
right,
in the glass. And you know, talk about a job that you're not leveraging your time at all, because you know, I got to go there and lean over a hot windshield and burn my forearms fixing the windshield, or I don't get paid. Well, that's, I can go through the whole thing, the story of, how I got involved in marketing by going to a Dan Kennedy seminar, but ultimately what it showed to me is I needed to know how to market. And then once I learned how that skill of what I developed of being really good at marketing, then I started looking for a niche that needed that help. So it was sort of backwards. Normally, you're supposed to see, find a niche and find out what they want and give it to them. But I already had my skills, so I had to find somebody to sell it to. Marketing is marketing is marketing in my case. So it doesn't matter if it was a butcher shop, a candy store, an auto repair shop, or a chiropractic office. The skill to be able to get a customer is going to be the same. It's just a matter of how you apply it. I walked into the automotive industry not really knowing a whole lot about fixing cars, but the way I look at it is I don't need to know how to fix a car. My accountant doesn't know how to market, but
yeah,
he keeps my books, he keeps the IRS off my back, because he does what he does best, and I do what I do best, which is helping people get customers.
Yeah, and what I take away from that is that so many people put these limiters on us or your own self where it's like, well, okay, well, I'm not going to be able to do this, or how am I possibly going to get credibility in this marketplace because I'm not one of them, or, there's always this internal conversation that is shooting down anything that you're thinking about. How did you get around that, or how did you just simply say, well, screw it, I know how to market way better than they do, and that's exactly why they need me?
Well, that was one. I mean, that's the approach I walked into the business with. Look, I got a skill that you need. and I'm going to go do that. Now I do things a little bit differently, and you know, because back when I started, you know, the internet was, you know, Al Gore didn't even think about it yet, I guess.
That's right.
But you know, now things have changed, and now I'm finding that the way to break into the market is just, you know, just be awesome. Just, you know, help people, you know, get a following of people that, you know, realize that you're there to help them, and things then start taking care of themselves. You know, at some point, they start asking you more questions, and that's when you have now a business that you can, you know, enter in, if that's how you want to enter into a particular niche that you really don't know a whole lot about.
Right.
You can wow them and get them asking questions, or you can sit there and pump your chest out like I did and challenge them in the very beginning. I wouldn't do that now, but, you know, things change.